With great mojo comes great responsibility. Mojo 5-0. Mojo 5-0.
We will make America great again.
Sam Sorbo.
And welcome to the Sam Sorbo Show. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great big show for you today. I've got a report on the facts on COVID. We're going to delve into some of the very nitty-gritty details that I think you'll be fascinated to hear. And of course, we're coming up on Independence Day. So let's take a moment to think about everything we owe the government this Dependence Day. I'm sorry, wait, that came out wrong. All right. Just like to start the day off with a little humor. But that is a tweet by the Democrats. No, I'm kidding. Somebody made a meme, but it's very clever. Think about everything we owe the government this Dependence Day. Well, with COVID and everything, they're certainly trying to convince us that we owe them a great deal. Here to talk about some of that is Dinesh D'Souza, of course, a best-selling author and critically acclaimed filmmaker. He's got his most powerful book to date, The United States of Socialism. Who's behind it? Why it's evil? How to stop it? I think we need some sage advice from Dinesh D'Souza. So welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to be on the show.
So I can answer all those questions. It's our education system.
Well, you know, that's a big part of it. When you look at these hooligans on the street yanking down monuments and setting courthouses on fire and beating people up, you have to ask who put these ideas into their head. And one can say that academia is the theory and Antifa is the practice. They've been indoctrinated. They haven't heard both sides. They haven't really critically thought for themselves. So it's a generation of robotic ideologues that have been unleashed now into the larger society. It's going to be a long-term problem.
It is because we're no longer teaching history. And so we can, you and I can talk because we've read some history and we know that one of the first things that Hitler did was take away guns. The second thing was they defunded the police and then he instituted his own. By the way, defund the police doesn't mean they don't want police. They just don't want the well-trained American police. They want the socialist police, right?
Absolutely. My wife is from Venezuela, and they have sort of paramilitary gangs of thugs called colectivos who are allied with the socialist regime. So it's lawlessness on the one hand, but there's a predictability to it because the job of the colectivos is to beat up businessmen, beat up pastors, take on political dissidents. So they have their target. So that's really what Black Lives Matter and Antifa wants. They want the police to change its list of targets.
And do you see them succeeding?
No, because I think that they've overplayed their hand. I think also the Democratic Party has made a very serious tactical mistake here in kind of semi-endorsing these groups. They haven't openly endorsed them, but they certainly haven't condemned them. And certainly there are leaders like de Blasio and Newsom and others in Portland and Berkeley and so on who have essentially embraced this kind of thuggery. So I think the American people, when they look on this, are going to say, well, look, you know, having people smash store windows and threaten people in their neighborhoods and set things on fire, this is really not the America we want. And it's not warranted by anything that's being done. That this has all gone way beyond George Floyd, and it's now become a kind of broad indictment of society, but a very unfair one.
Right. You also have a movie coming out in August.
Yeah, the movie is sort of based on the themes in the book, but I decided to call the movie Trump Card because I think that Trump is sort of the colossus, the figure.
You just want to trigger liberals with that. That's all that is. Shameless.
Well, if you think about it, who's dominating? You know, Biden is basically, he's in a bunker, and the election's going to revolve around Trump one way or the other. And so, and the other thing about it is not only is Trump the sort of political soldier in the fight against socialism, but he's also the classic entrepreneur. So he embodies sort of the capitalist spirit. And that's one thing about him, I think, that the socialists hate.
Yeah, I've noticed that it seems like politicians, especially on the left, are getting younger and younger. It seems like the less experience they have, the more qualified they are to serve in the Democrat Party.
Well, the other thing is there, in all these industries, I know that notice this in publishing, but it's also true in media It's these young activists who are putting pressure on the institutions to root out the conservatives and even to root out the classical liberals. That's why this guy James Bennett got fired from the New York Times simply for publishing an op-ed by a Republican senator. So there's an effort here to impose uniformity. You mentioned earlier fascism, but I think the most striking comparison is this kind of intimidation toward a forced conformity. When you think of all the people who did the Heil Hitler salute, you know, even when Hitler wasn't around, you think, why were they doing that? What were they trying to convey? Well, what they were trying to convey is the fact that they were conformists, that they were subordinate to the regime, that they would do what they were told, that they would march in lockstep. And there's an attempt to impose that lockstep regime on our whole society.
What do you think the masks are?
The masks, exactly. Well, the masks are a good example. You know, in a free society, you think you tell people, listen, these are the risks, this is the situation, this is the infection rate, this is the death rate. The case rate seems to have been going up, but the death rate is going down, and that means the disease is, in a way, less lethal than we thought. So make your own decision and act responsibly. But no, there's an effort here to suspend our civil liberties, try to control our lives, use drones to monitor our movements. These are the hallmarks of a tyrannical society.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It's taken a toll on me, just on a personal level. It's just, I find the mask discomforting. I find them actually very threatening, just seeing people in masks and understanding the symbolism behind it and everything. But at the same time, you mentioned that you think that perhaps the Democrats have overplayed their hands, and I think... And I tend to agree with that. But my question for you is, will there be a backlash in November? Do you think? Do you think? So we've come all the way down this far, California is going back under lockdown, closing restaurants and things, closing beaches. Here in Florida, they just closed beaches again for the weekend because they don't want people to socialize. And at the same time, once we understand, and I'm going to go over this with the audience, the numbers, okay? There's no clinical evidence that masks work. The numbers are saying that deaths are declining even while we're getting more cases, which is exactly what you say. Are people going to be able to admit that they've been duped?
Well, it was a very good indicator when you saw those mass protests and the left went dead silent. There was no complaint about them. Even Dr. Fauci kind of disappeared from the scene, and now he's back, now that the protests have subsided. Let me, make a prediction. If you had the election and Biden won the election, the day after the election, there will be a deafening media roar to reopen the economy, to essentially get back to normal. America is back. So essentially, there's a political campaign here to lock down the economy so there's no prospect. There are signs the economy is revving its engines up again, and the left wants to make sure that that does not happen before November.
Right. And I'm hoping that people will recognize that and say, okay, it's enough already. We need to reopen, and we need to vote people out of office.
I think on the broader scale, though, striking has been the Republican kind of inaction on this. And by that, I mean a willingness to step up and speak out and challenge all this lawlessness and all these lies. I mean, Trump has done it to a degree, but a lot of the other Republican leaders and certainly the conservative intellectuals have basically been twiddling their thumbs and have been sitting in, I think, silent stupefaction and just bemoaning, oh, our country is being lost and so on. Well, our country is being lost in part because of you. Why don't you get up and speak up and speak out and do something? But the people who have actually done that is a very small minority.
Can you comment just quickly on Tucker Carlson? You know, he's been really unduly targeted, or duly targeted, I suppose, and advertisers are shying away. And I would go online because I need to do some shopping, and I almost just refuse to go into a store because I don't want to put a mask on. Well, not almost. I do. I refuse. And so, but I go on these websites and they immediately have like the black banner and say, we support the, you know, we support either BLM or we support, you know, racial equality or whatever. Like it's this made up sort of weird thing. And they're all stepping into conformity.
So, Sam, they're flying the swastika flag. I mean, don't think for a minute that these corporations are on board with BLM's Marxist agenda. It's none of that. They're just absolute cowards. They don't want to be called racist. They kind of want to be seen as on the right side. And so they're doing this for the same reason that they would put up, you know, climate change banners and stickers. They don't know if the earth is getting hotter or colder, and they don't even care. To them, the climate is exactly the same as it was when they were kids. But they also know that this is sort of the cause of the day, the cause of the moment. And we're not going to get a lot of courage out of these corporations. I do think that we need more courage out of the political class and political leaders on the conservative side. That's the thing I think has been missing.
All right. So those are the people that we need to vote for. Dinesh D'Souza, the book is called, where is it?
United States of Socialism.
Say it together now.
Well, just think, you know, just think of that little Chaz zone of four square blocks expanded to the whole country, and you'll get a little picture of what the United States of Socialism would look like.
And you go into how to stop it, and we talk briefly, you know, vote for free thinkers, vote for freedom, always vote for freedom. Any other tips for us? Obviously, read the book.
Well, we have to defeat these paramilitaries on the street. I mean, right as we speak, they're trying to burn down the federal courthouse in Portland, and they pulled down the Washington statue and urinated on it. So this stuff cannot be allowed to stand. But the mayor is allowing it, and the governor of the state is allowing it. And I think the decision for Trump is whether to use federal force when local force is not being appropriately deployed. I also think it's important to shut down the deep state. And here we're all kind of waiting with bated breath for the Durham investigation. And that's going to be very important because so far none of these thugs with badges have been held accountable.
Yeah. Do you think that Trump ought to intervene?
I think he ought to for this simple reason, that our constitutional rights are not subject to democratic referendum. It wouldn't matter if 99% of people in Seattle were perfectly okay with creating a zone in which I'm not allowed to speak or practice my religion or whatever. My rights are not up for their adjudication.
Right.
So we have these constitutional rights, and it is the federal government's role to enforce them when they're not being enforced at the state and local level.
Yeah, it's a pit, though. It's a snake pit for him to do it, right?
No, it is, because, of course, what happens with these Antifa guys is that they stand there, and they all have cell phones, and they're recording themselves throwing things, and the moment someone does something to them, they put on social media, police brutality, I'm being injured, and so on. So this is all a kind of guerrilla theater being staged for the general public, and they're counting on the American public to be such suckers that they don't know that these are the instigators, these are actually the criminals. These are the guys who need
to be got the media.
Brought to heel.
And the media.
And they've got the meat.
Right? The media turns it around. I mean, I'm sure you saw Chris Cuomo interviewing the pink polo shirt guy, right, with the AK-47, and saying, you know, what were you thinking, basically? And the guy said, look, if he came after you and said you're next, I think that you would defend yourself. And, of course, Chris Cuomo himself is a thug. But
absolutely.
Trying to make excuses.
Well, see, I think that was a good example of them overplaying their hand, because the one thing I think that people fear is hordes of people coming to the suburbs and trying to terrorize us in our gardens and in our homes. I mean, that is going to unleash the fury of America like nothing you've ever seen before. So this was a tiny glimpse of that.
Right.
And I think it was actually very bad for the left.
And the mayor of Seattle completely reversing course when they threatened her home.
Exactly. Exactly. Or the Minneapolis town council people, they defund the police and immediately hire private security for themselves.
Right. And now Minneapolis is asking for bailout money because they allowed the rioters to happen. Please help us.
These people are really unbelievable.
I'm sorry. You have to laugh at it because otherwise you'd cry. So the movie is coming out. It's based loosely on the book, United States of Socialism. I just adore your movies. I go to every one. In fact, I got to go to the premiere of the last one. But Trump Card comes out in August. It will be in theaters. You've guaranteed me now that the theaters will be open and they will be showing this movie, and I can't wait.
Yes, you can be sure of it. We've been in close touch with the theater chains. They're all excited about the movie. They want to get people back in the theater. There are other big movies coming out around the same time. So it's going to be celebrate your freedom, get out, and go to the theater.
Yeah, other big movies don't count because they're nothing like Trump Card, I'm sure. So yeah, get out, celebrate your freedom, and go to the theater. Amen. Hey, Dinesh D'Souza, it's so great to speak with you. Thanks for coming on the program.
My pleasure.
So... You heard it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. He just talks so much sense. It's really remarkable to speak sensibly with somebody. Which brings me to an article that Kurt Schlichter just came out with. It's up on townhall.com. It's called Stop Making Sense. And it makes a lot of sense. And so I'm going to read you a little bit of it for discussion. He starts this way. He says, it's not transcendentally stupid for the alleged anti-racism rioters to destroy a Lincoln statue, though to normal people, it looks like the act of drooling morons. Now, a good number of these cesspeople are drooling morons, but that does not change the fact that trashing POTUS, his number 16's statuary, is brilliant. It does not change that fact. They have confused their targets, us, by casting off the constraints of coherence. Oh, wait, you thought that these folks were trying to make a point about racism being bad. And you thought, because that's how those of us who weren't raised on Insta, Twitbook, soy, and critical race theory, that if you point out that something is unreasonable, then that will cause the person you were instructing to rethink it. After all, trashing some honest Abe totem in order to illustrate how racism is double plus ungood is about a 12 on the 1 to 10 scale of unreasonability. And yet, you can point that out all day, and they don't care. In fact, they laugh at you for doing so. It's not about making sense. It never was. It's about making you kneel. If you look at everything that's going on, the one common denominator is that every action the woke insurgents take is designed to strip you of your ability to defend your interests or property or rights or life. The idea is to leave you utterly vulnerable, totally exposed, at which point they can do with you as they see fit. The nicer ones will merely re-educate you and then demand humiliating submission and tribute. History and their social media feed teach that others will happily murder you. Doubt me? Just ask your local kulak. And he explains that a kulak is a landowning peasant. But you can't ask your local kulak because they no longer exist. They were killed in the Soviet Union under communism. Stripping you of defenses takes many forms. One form is defunding and abolishing the police. Oh, someone will be wielding force in society. It just won't be the people accountable to or inclined to protect you. Another form is literally stripping you of your defenses. Why is gun control such a fetish for these creeps? Because you with a gun have the ability to not just say no, but to exact a price from those who wish to compel a yes. So of course they want to eliminate your ability to have weapons. But they also want to eliminate, as a practical matter, your ability to use them to protect yourself. Look at what happened to the pink polo shirt guy. The St. Louis Soros bought DA, who last month, by the way, released all the arrested rioters, threatened to prosecute him. The media is out slandering him. I was going to play the clip from the Chris Cuomo interview. He did very well, and I wish that he had done better. He did very well, and I really can't criticize him because that's a hot seat to sit in. When Chris went after him about Trump tweeting, and Chris was wrong, and he admitted as he was still interviewing him that he was wrong because he said something. He said that Trump had tweeted and then deleted it. But in fact, it was a different tweet that Trump had deleted, wherein in the video, you can hear somebody saying something about white supremacy or something. Well, Trump had tweeted that and then he had deleted it because likely he hadn't heard the thing about white supremacy. Somebody pointed it out to him and so he deleted it. But he tweeted about the guy defending his property and didn't delete it. And Chris, said, hey, and then he deleted it, and then he corrected himself. Anyway, the thug had said, hey, buddy, you're next. And that's when this guy went and got his gun because he didn't want to be next. You're supposed to acquiesce to being next. You're supposed to just march down to the wooden door to nowhere that's braced against a tile wall and face the door and wait for the bullet. That's what you're supposed to do. And this guy wouldn't. And that bothers Chris Cuomo, which is kind of funny because Chris Cuomo is a bulldog when it comes to confrontation. He doesn't shy away from it. In fact, he laments that he's supposed to be shying away from confrontation because of his high-ranking position in the media. And he still doesn't shy away from confrontation. But he wants you to, because he disagrees with conservative values. They don't understand their own hypocrisy, frankly. Kurt Schlichter writes, Soros is a really shrewd investor. The law, and the law generally says, you can reasonably defend your life and property. And he puts in, hey, please consult your local laws for specifics and get proper training. The law means nothing if corrupt Democrats ignore the crimes of the leftists and prosecute normals who dare resist the blue terror, which is kind of the point. You thought you could rely on the law and on the government to protect you. Nope. And now you can't protect yourself either. And then there's reason. So reason is a defense. You can use it. You can make arguments, present evidence to convince people. But this is not about making sense. That's the point of his article. You cannot reason with these people. And that's where I kind of lose it. Like, that's where my struggle begins. Because you know me by now, right? I deal in reason and truth. And I struggle mightily when I am confronted by people who refuse reason and eschew truth.
Division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. And so, folks, if you're interested, join me. I could use the help. Division.
He needs
help. We choose
right.
Science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
Biden says we choose truth over facts. And the crowd applauds. That was an Iowa State Fair a while ago. You cannot reason with these people. Forget trying to convince them. You're not going to talk them out of their quest for power over you. They are tactically genius. Instead of confronting an impenetrable defense, they just scuttle around it and attack into the rear. Now, That's not to say pointing out the fact that everything they say and do is bull. It does help awoken the conservative unwoke, the normal people. And so it does help to keep up the fight, but not with them, because they don't care. And so he asks, how do we beat them? He says, step one, understand the nature of the fight. It's not one of right and wrong. That's how they like to disguise it, but that's not what it's about. And you know that. It's only about power. Give them nothing, concede nothing, stop trying to be reasonable with people who think a reasonable compromise is just impoverishing and disenfranchising you instead of stashing you in a gulag or worse. We just haven't gotten to the gulag part, okay? Look what they did to Flynn. Stop trying to prove you're not racist. You're not. The heck with them. Just stop it. You don't owe them any assurances or excuses. They're going to claim whatever you deny is proof that you're guilty. There's no sense to it. Stop making sense. It's the title of his article. Step two, understand the enemy and the information operation that the enemy is running on you. The total number of these shrieking punks is infinitesimal, probably under 1% of the population. But the mainstream media seeks to make them seem pervasive and overwhelming by covering them 24/7. That's why I hardly watch the news anymore. I'd rather read about it. And even then, right? They expect you to fall for it, but don't. Look out your window. Except for the whiny woke mom down the street with the hand-painted signs on her, right? The slogans and stuff. No. Don't allow yourself to be demoralized. Victory is at hand. You know what's going to be great? November's going to be great. All right. Don't fall for the lies. And then he says, step three is to impose your will ruthlessly and fearlessly, because this is our country. This is the country of freedom. No, we're not going to riot in the streets. We're going to riot at the ballot box. Talk to people and get out the vote. And then step four, he just always ends these things funny. Stop making sense unless it's directed at the unwoke, the conservatives. Making sense is a waste of your time. This is about power, and it's time to use yours. And I love that. And with that, I'm going to go to my next guest. My old friend, Curtis Ellis, is a policy director with President Trump's only official super PAC, America First Policies. And we're going to talk about the jobs report. So I want to play you this.
Today's announcement proves that our economy is roaring back. It's coming back extremely strong. We have some areas where we're putting out the flames or the fires, and that's working out well. We're working very closely with governors, and I think it's working out very well. I think you'll see that shortly. So these are numbers that are not numbers that other presidents would have, and they won't have it. The only thing they can kill, it's a bad president or a president that wants to raise taxes. You want to raise taxes, this whole thing, your 401ks will drop down to nothing, and your stock market will drop down to nothing. This is not just luck, what's happening. This is a lot of talent.
All right. Welcome to the show, Curtis Ellis.
It is so great to be here. It's always great to talk with you. What an inspiring message.
What jobs number? What jobs number? Tell me.
What 5 million jobs in 1 month, 4.8 to be exact.
It's
7.5 million jobs in 2 months. These are two record-breaking jobs reports back to back.
It's amazing. Economy,
it is amazing. People want to get back to life. They want to get back to work. People enjoy doing living in America.
Yeah.
They enjoy doing what they do in America.
They like making money, baby. They like, right? I'm just struggling. Yeah. I don't know where you are. I'm in Florida, and they've mandated masks everywhere. And I just see that as just, you know, serving the man or whatever you call it. I don't know. I just really rail against it. But people are getting out there at least.
Yeah, I'm in Florida too. I came down here for an event with the vice president, which ended up getting postponed. But I decided to stay. And from where I am, I'm not in Dade or Miami. It looks like normal life. I mean, things are going on. I talk to people whose businesses never stopped, never slowed down. I'm in an agricultural area. And guess what? You can't order the plants to stop growing.
Where are you? Like county-wise?
Polk County.
Oh, you're in Polk. Okay, that's outside of Tampa.
Yeah.
I'm on the other coast. I was in Tampa, but even in Tampa, I think they've mandated masks. Polk, they haven't, right?
No, they haven't. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good, because I want the masked America to see that the rest of America is fine. And the death rate is going down. And
exactly.
That's the only number that matters.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If you're not dead, you're okay. You want breaking news. This just in. If you're not dead, you're alive. If they keep finding these new cases of people who didn't even know they were sick.
That's why the testing. So first of all, we're doing more testing than anywhere else in the world. And we are testing if you have or ever have had COVID. And so many people had it and it went away. Like they didn't even know. And so, of course, the number of quote cases has gone up. But I'm going to explain to the audience in a little bit what that actually, how they define cases. So it used to, I'll do it right now. They used to define cases with symptoms.
Right.
Not for COVID. For COVID, they define it with a test. So it used to be you had polio and it was confirmed with a test, or you had smallpox and or chickenpox or whatever because you had the symptoms, and then they would confirm it with the test. But now with COVID, they've reversed that. They are doing so much unscience, unmedical practice. It boggles the mind. And so now if you have anything that might resemble COVID, or if you go to the hospital as a car accident victim or for hip surgery, they test you for COVID and then they label you as COVID if you have the antibodies or you have any kind of, it's crazy.
Exactly right. And if you are then hospitalized because it takes, you know, 2 days, 3 days for your knee replacement surgery to work or to recover from your car accident,
right,
you're now counted as a COVID hospitalization.
Right.
And that's so the numbers are all squishy. The data is corrupted.
That's correct.
And the media is more than happy to hop on it. It's like, oh my gosh, we've got this surge, this spike in COVID cases. Oh my gosh, we've got to shut everything down again. It's like, no.
And
you
so
don't get it.
Here's my question. And I seem to be asking all of my guests this. So what we have, we suffer from confirmation bias as a culture
now. Thank
you. Okay. And so eventually we will realize, oh, you know what? This was really just like a pretty nasty flu. We had the same number of deaths as we would have had with a pretty nasty flu. Even though we social dist, even though we did this and that, we might actually maybe go far enough to realize that even the number of deaths is perverted at this point. And so it's lower than that. But even the CDC is saying, hey, it's basically as deadly as the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Will we as a society be able to understand just how duped we've been? Or are we simply going to say, nope, we're really glad we got through that and nothing, you know, it wasn't as bad as it could have been or something?
Well, it's going to be, I fear that it's going to be even worse than that, at least among some segments of the population. They're going to continue to believe, they're going to go to their graves, and certainly the politicians like Cuomo are going to go to their graves trying to convince
How
us
soon?
Of believing.
How, do you know
that,
something I don't know, that Cuomo's going to his grave?
No.
Sorry, go ahead.
After he sends the rest of us first.
Wow.
It's believing that, oh, it's because of the lockdown and the crippling the economy and keeping kids out of school and everybody out of church. That's the reason why we dodged a bullet on this. And that's the reason why more people didn't die. They're going to they can't admit they were wrong. You know, politicians can't admit they're wrong, and human beings to a certain degree. You know, it's the hardest thing. One of the hardest things to do is to admit you're promptly
exactly.
admit you're wrong. You know,
exactly. But Sweden.
Right.
You know,
right.
Sweden's
wait
out
two
there.
Weeks. Yeah. Wait 2 weeks and then we'll find out that we're all. Yeah, I can't. I think we're going to get to herd immunity. That's what this means when you start seeing the positive cases are among the younger people. And Bloomberg News reports this is the problem. The problem is the positive cases are among the younger people. No, that's a good thing.
We should never have let them riot. We should never have encouraged them to riot. What were we thinking? Because, right? I mean, it's so stupid. But hold on. We're supposed to be talking, you know, America First policies and stuff. So
yes.
Talk to me about that.
So America First policies, we are here to reelect President Trump, and the policy arm is to back up his legislative agenda, the America First agenda. And look, this whole thing comes together. The economy comes together. Even this, I hate to use the phrase because we're using their terminology, but the Black Lives Matter stuff comes together. It just drives me nuts when I see these big companies like Citibank and, you know, Apple Computer and General Motors all talking this game about Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. These are the people who outsourced all of the jobs that provided good paying incomes and middle class existence for Black people. They took all those jobs and sent them to China, sent them to Mexico. General Motors used to make cars in Flint. And you couldn't drink the water in Mexico. Now they make cars in Mexico and you can't drink the water in Flint. Citibank, Wall Street has encouraged every company in America to close down manufacturing in the U.S. and send it to China. And we just learned this week again, yet again, in case people hadn't been paying attention before, China uses slave labor. They take people, the ethnic minorities, the Uyghurs, the ethnic Muslims in Western China, and use them in the factories that are making parts for Apple Computer, for General Motors, for Gap, for Nike. Nike, are you listening, Colin Kaepernick? You're being paid by slave labor. Your contract is being fabricated with slaves in China. Muslim slaves are being used to make Nike sneakers to pay you to talk about systemic racism. Nothing says systemic racism like genocide, and that's what China is doing. They are wiping out, and this is the report that came out this week from the Associated Press. They are forcing the Uyghur women to have abortions, sterilizing them, forcing them to have intrauterine birth control devices implanted. They are committing demographic genocide against an ethnic minority in China. And nothing says systemic racism like genocide. And Nike and Apple and General Motors and every company that is using this slave labor, the Gap is another one. Mm-hmm. A lot of garment apparel, a lot of garment manufacturers rely on this regime in China, and particularly the slave labor factories. And it's and so you want to bring it all together. Let's bring the jobs back to America. That will solve all the problems that everybody is protesting about, all the destitution, the lack of opportunity, the income inequality. It all comes down to the fact that we don't have jobs here. And it's not like these jobs have been automated out of existence. Quite the contrary. They have been moved. to China.
Right.
A communist regime. No freedom. No individual rights, no individuality.
And apparently
you exist for the state.
That's a one-way street because Obama said, you can't bring those jobs back. You can't wave a magic wand and do that, right?
Right, right. Well, you can. President Trump started. We need to do it more. Obama said that because his big donors don't want to bring them back. They make more money. And then if you've got everybody here destitute and desperate, you put them on welfare, and you know who they're going to vote for. The person who says, give them more welfare.
Right.
So how? And who's, by the way, who's the biggest, one of the biggest beneficiaries of this whole thing is Amazon. Amazon sources so much of its stuff from China.
Right.
So now here you have Amazon. They run one of the most influential papers in America, the Washington Post. The rest of the Washington press corps, these, and the major media, read the Washington Post to get their marching orders. And that guy's got a vested interest in keeping the economy shut down. And yeah. Shutting down every small business in America. So,
well, that's okay. So, you know, we have to understand that there are ulterior motives all across the board. And, mm-hmm. And I'm hoping, okay, I don't know if this is going to happen, but if you go full circle on this, then you have to understand that people who get involved in politics should be forced out. Like,
thank you.
8 years and then you're done. And okay, if you make some good contacts, good luck with that. But what we've got, you know, the swamp, the reason that we know about the swamp is because they're so entrenched, and the swamp is now actively working against the United States of America, against the freedom, right?
You're right. That's right. They're working for themselves. They're working for the perpetual government. They want perpetual war. If you're in the military, one of these flag officers, Pentagon officers, these are like desk officers. The only way they get to that level 4 or 5 stars is if they've been in a combat situation, a combat theater. So, of course, they want to keep the war going in Afghanistan for 20 years because that's their route to promotion. And then they can become defense contractors. They could become procurement officers buying the expensive weapon systems. And then better yet, they move out through the revolving door and work for those defense contractors for millions of dollars a year. And their promotions are paid for with the blood of your children, the limbs of your neighbor's children who are fed into this perpetual war machine. And whether it's war or anything else, you want perpetual dependency on government. So you've got all of those programs going on. We do absolutely have to get back to what you said of getting these people out of politics. You can't make a lifetime career in politics. The fly in the ointment here, though, is, as we've seen demonstrated with the Trump administration, the spectacle of the permanent state rejecting President Trump like a host body rejects a transplanted organ, is the somebody was explaining this is what happened in California when they had term limits there. When the assemblyman or the state senator walks into the EPA, to the Environmental Protection Bureaucrat office, it used to be those folks would duck under the desk because here's the guy that had, or the gal that had, control over the agency's budget, right? And so, oh, we better do what he says. Now they say, we'll just wait him out. They'll be, their term limit of that, they'll be gone in 4 years. They'll be gone in 8 years. We're going to do whatever we want because they come, they go, we're here forever.
Right.
So you can end up further empowering the permanent unelected government by forcing all the people with experience to leave on the elected side to get out after 4 years.
So what's the solution?
The solution is honest people. I mean, we can't.
That's an education problem. Our education, we put our education system in place in order to create a virtuous public so that we wouldn't need so many laws. And now our education system is teaching our children to riot in the streets. Now, you can challenge me on that, but I can back it up. Because survival of the fittest, survival of the fittest is bullying. And that's what we're seeing on the streets.
That's right.
So,
and the other thing is we rely on faith and belief in God for people to self-regulate. So they don't need a temporal authority to tell them what to do.
Right.
And as we've taken God out of the equation, you have people turning increasingly to authority, and that's to solve their differences. And that's the other thing we're teaching children. That's the other failing of our education system. Instead of having these kids be able to resolve differences among themselves. They now go to the authority. They expect, you know, the teacher or the referee or the or after they get out of school, they expect, oh, well, we need a new law. We need the law, and then we need the government to solve this. And we're going to riot in the street because we want a new government authority, which is completely contradictory. We're going to break all the laws because we want a law, you know?
Right. Right.
So now, virtue. We need the ancient virtues. That's what it is. It all comes down to that. Look, it takes one generation to go from civilization to decadence. When you have civilization, you believe we are rich because we are good. Right. You have virtue. You have believe in
that's
in
the narrative that they've turned on its head. It's fascinating
that you say that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Then right. It goes from we are rich because we are good. And then decadence is we're good because we're rich. And that's not true.
Right. It's but what they're saying is you're rich because you're evil.
Exactly.
That's
right.
What the enemy.
Exactly
that is.
Right.
That's the line, right?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
So billionaires should not exist. That's what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said. And
right.
Mind you, she's funded by a billionaire, so I'm not sure how she rectifies that with her values or morality.
Billionaires for me, not for thee.
But, exactly right. So tell me how can people get in touch with you and help out and we need to elect people who are unafraid of the fight and willing to maintain virtue, right?
That's right. Exactly right. And as you were saying before I came on, we need everybody to vote. We need everybody to get their neighbors to register to vote. A surprising number of people who support President Trump or support his agenda and share the beliefs of this, of what we've been talking about are not even registered to vote. And we need every single person to come out and register. You can find us at AmericaFirstPolicies.org, AmericaFirstPolicies.org. And you will find everything about our organization there. We're involved in a big voter registration drive ongoing.
Right.
And you can find me at Kurt if you want to email me. Anybody wants to send me an email, it's Curtis@AmericaFirstPolicies.org. But that's our website. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And I encourage everybody to register to vote. Convince your friends, your neighbors. This is a crucial. We always say this is the most important election ever, but this time it really is. I mean, my gosh, the choice could not be clearer. The radicals. Somebody was telling me last night there are no extremist Democrats. There is no extremist Democrats because to have an extremist, you have to have a mainstream, and there are no mainstream.
Right.
The mainstream of the Democratic Party is now behind all this crazy stuff.
That's right.
So
I don't understand.
We can't let them triumph.
And I said this to a friend of mine who's a lifelong Democrat, and I said, "You don't understand yet." But your party has left you because you're a good
that's
person
right.
and you mm-hmm. have morals and you cannot tell lies and all of that. And that's all they do. So you're belonging to a party in name only. And So, okay, great. AmericaFirstPolicies.org. And if you want to email Curtis, it's Curtis at that same appendage. And that's awesome. So thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and happy 4th of July.
And happy 4th of July. Happy. The Democrats celebrate Dependence Day. We celebrate Independence Day.
I love it. That's
all
great.
Right. Thanks.
Take care.
All right. So it's true. Democrats celebrate Dependence Day, but it's not. It's our day of independence. All right. Let's see. Moving on. I had one. We did that. I did have some other clips to play for you. See if I can get them here. Oh, this is off the Babylon Bee. I thought this was pretty funny. LeBron James pulls over to lecture homeless man on his white privilege. Powerful. We all know LeBron James is an amazing human being, but seriously, just when we thought he couldn't get any better, local media caught this powerful moment, and we can't even... Cameras caught the inspiring, heartwarming moment. LeBron approached a homeless man last week at one of LA's many tent cities. According to sources, the homeless man held out his hand to LeBron's approaching car to ask for some spare change. What happened next gives us faith and humanity again. The world-famous NBA player looked at the poor man's outstretched and said, smiling, "Silver and gold I have none, but in the name of Black Lives Matter, I offer you the gift of social enlightenment." He then proceeded to lecture the lucky panhandler on his white privilege, offering helpful ways to be better in the future. "I was shocked," said Mike Crazy Eyes McCluckerson, the homeless Marine Corps vet, after LeBron's helpful exhortation. "I was raised by a family of possums under an abandoned bridge, but I had no idea how many advantages my whiteness had given me in life." Furthermore, Mr. James illuminated a host of unconscious biases I harbored in my heart without even knowing it. This moment marks a turning point in my never-ending journey to relinquish the mantle of privilege Western colonialism has afforded me. All right. I'm just saying. That made me laugh. So, here you go. This is in Ventura County. This is the county I used to live in California. Here's a guy going into the town government, or the county government, right? And he's given the floor, and he walks up, and the woman before him actually takes a wipe and wipes off the counter and gets it ready for him. He walks up wearing a mask because they're mandated. Listen to this.
"After waiting for 2 hours and now getting 2 minutes, I'll get right to the point. This board is pretending that for the last 3 months, your emperor, Dr. Levin, has not been against a mask declaration."
Okay, so they actually put up on the screen, because this has been edited slightly for fun. They put a screen up of Dr. Robert Levin, health officer and medical director of Ventura County. Okay, and so for 3 months, he said no masks.
"Now all of a sudden, we're pretending that masks are everything, even forcing speakers to use masks. I would like the board to take a position. Was Dr. Levin wrong for those 3 months? And if he was this wrong, why has he not been removed? Why has he not been fired for being so catastrophically wrong? Or do you not really believe he was wrong? You're just wearing these masks because it is a signal of your great virtue."
Damn!
That's the edit. Damn. I was talking about.
"Because for the last 3 months, we have not worn them. And Ventura County has done outstandingly well and continues to do outstandingly well because we are not Los Angeles. We are not New York City. We never were going to be any of those things. Ironically, this is one of the few things Dr. Levin was actually right about. He has been wrong about everything. He is the one who told us we would have 400 to 600 hospitalizations a day. He revised that to 200 to 400 a day. We still haven't reached that in 1 day. We're barely over 200 for the entire ordeal that you guys have put us through. We now are panicked over 51 total hospitalizations in a county with 8 hospitals. Can you people do math? Can you please do basic math and understand where we are on this? This is not a crisis. You, however, have created one. You, in an effort to try to prevent all death, when we've had 43 deaths, have now ended all relevant life. And you should all be ashamed of yourselves. And this will never be forgotten. Ever be forgotten. You will all be held accountable eventually, in this life or the next. You all better hope there is no hell, because when you die, that's where you're going. And guess what? You're not going to be dying of COVID either. Thank you."
That's it. That's it. The lockdown is causing so many deaths. The lockdown itself is causing so many deaths. So this is inside an article that I'm not going to have a time to go through with you, but I will refer you to my Facebook page, because I'm going to put it up on my Facebook page. It's the JB Handley blog. It's called Lockdown Lunacy 2.0. Second wave, not even close. We are reaching herd immunity. In fact, in many areas in the United States, we have reached herd immunity. And I'm not going to go into the specifics of what that is, but Sweden. If Sweden stops at about 5,000 or 6,000 deaths, we will know that they've reached herd immunity and that we didn't need to do any kind of lockdown, because Sweden did no kind of lockdown. This is off of Dr. Michael Levitz. He's a Stanford Nobel laureate, Dr. Michael Levitt, and he published this on May 4th as part of an interview to the Stanford Daily.
he advocated the Swedish method of just allowing it to spread naturally, but encouraging social distancing, which is, you know, wash your hands and don't spit on people, is sort of, yes, we understand that. He said, my own feeling is that it will probably stop because of herd immunity. COVID is serious. It's at least a serious flu, but it's not going to destroy humanity as people thought. Well, guess what? As of today, 7 weeks after his prediction, Sweden has 5,280 deaths. That is herd immunity. And he's got the graphs to back it up. So I'm just saying, at some point, we're going to have to realize that we have operated in a spirit of fear. And boy, oh boy, that is not the American way. If that is how this nation had begun, we wouldn't be here talking today. So with this, and I'll be back. I just need to take a break from podcasting. I've got a lot of other stuff to do. I'm doing the public school exit every Wednesday going forward, answering people's questions about home education and what that looks like. And so I encourage you to join me there. Join me on Facebook. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. But don't be a follower. Be a leader. All right, that's the end of my show today. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Sam Sorbo. Now go have a great rest of your day.